size and concrete. Those are things, you know, when you're riding, the five things to keep in mind. Just a couple of tips, you know, be professional, keep it simple, proofread your work, and be conscious of tone. Here again, I mentioned it earlier, you can send a text or an email and it be void of any kind of tone and it will be totally misunderstood. And this is an ongoing problem, and I've been a victim of it myself. And so I would urge you to be cognizant of it. But let me just say about written communications. I think in this day and age, we are so addicted to text messaging and emailing that sometimes we forget that the telephone still works. And sometimes the best way to communicate is to pick up the telephone and actually talk to somebody. And there's nothing worse than having an argument via text or email. It's a lot better to have that conversation and talk to each other one-on-one. I mean, written communication is necessary. I'm not saying that, but sometimes it's better to just pick up the telephone. I want to talk a little bit specifically about communication in BEP, specifically. And I'm talking about communication between the committee and the vendors, communication between the SLA and the committee, and communication between the SLA and vendors. I want to start with the committee and the vendors because I think this gets lost. I think when we talk about communication, the need for improved communication and all of that, we seem to think, well, the SLA is not communicating with the committee. Well, really, I flip it. I think it all starts from the grassroots up, and I think it starts with the committee communicating with the vendors. You guys that are on the committee, you're in politics, you're in governance, and so you look around, who are the best communicators in anywhere? They're the politicians. They are great communicators. They have to be great communicators to get reelected. And that's what you're doing. You're a politician, and you need to. You may not like that, but you are. So learn to be a good communicator. I don't know about you, but if you ever in any way reach out to or have contact with a legislator or a member of Congress, you will forevermore be on their mail distribution list, and they will be filling up your mailbox with stuff about things they are doing and about issues that they are facing, and that kind of stuff. They are also great about having public meetings, public forums, to where they can meet the constituents and hear from them. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to listen very well, but they will at least have the forum so that you can talk to them. So take some advice from your politicians. Here are some tips that I think the committees need to follow in terms of communicating with their vendors. First of all, you need to share the minutes of your committee meetings with all vendors. I think that's the easiest way in the world for the vendors to stay in touch with what's happening in the BEP is to read the minutes from the committee meeting. Now, the agency may do this, but that's fine. But share the minutes with all the vendors. Second, listen and stay informed. Now, how do you do that? I don't know how you guys in Connecticut do it. I should have checked. Most states are larger. They elect their committee reps by districts, and I encourage those local districts to have local meetings, telephone calls, or whatever, so that you can hear from them and they can hear from you. Again, listen and stay informed. It's critical because you are the voice of the other blind vendors in your state, and you need to develop mechanisms so that you can hear their views on various issues for you to consider as you are making decisions that affect the overall program. Another thing, other than local meetings, you need to call your vendors. I mean, yeah, they need to call you if they have issues, but you know, you as their committee rep, you need to call your vendors and just check in on them. Not for, you know, not if there's an issue or something. Just, you're a committee rep, I'm calling, checking in, what's going on, get to know them or whatever. If you know, if it's possible, you know, it's even great for you to be able to get out and go visit as many of the facilities as you possibly can. Get out there, because you know, if you're talking about somebody's situation and you've never been to their facility, you know, it's hard to relate sometimes. But so, or they may not be good at describing the situation. But if you're there, then you can, you know, what they were referencing. So get out and and see some facilities. You know, newsletters are good to communicate. Either you know, sometimes the agency can do that, or sometimes the committee can do that. Doing surveys, you know, that's a good mechanism to get feedback on potential issues. Sponsor training. I'm not talking about your annual training conference like you're doing today, but maybe there's something unique comes up and you want to do a 1-hour training or something like that, 2-hour training, virtual training. You know, call a meeting and offer the training. Sponsoring the annual vendor meeting is a requirement under the law. Well, it doesn't say annual, it just says sponsor the meetings, but you know, but that's something good that you need to continue to do it. Be a liaison to the SLA. That's you know, you're communicating that when the vendors come to you with issues, you know, you need to communicate those issues to the SLA. Be that liaison to help resolve as many problems as you possibly can at that level. You need to be accurate and truthful in your communications, and always, always, always follow up. That's one of the biggest problems we have. You know, you go to a meeting, everything sounds great, and all this is going to happen. Or you talk to somebody on the telephone, and all this is going to happen, and then there's no follow-up, and nothing happens. You lose credibility, whoever's, you know, saying it, and it just it creates problems with communication on down the road. When we talk about meetings, you know, I'm talking about your regular meetings. I don't know if you meet quarterly or every other month or how you meet, but at your regular meetings, make sure you always have an opportunity for an open forum for the other vendors. Now, if you operate under Open Meeting Act, you probably are required to do that anyway, but make sure that there's an opportunity for other folks to express their opinions about things. Make sure that everybody in the meeting is involved in the conversation. And so that falls on the committee chair a lot of times to involve everyone, and you don't have just one or two people dominating the conversation. That's the fastest way to kill communication, is to have somebody that you know, wants to dominate it. So try to involve everyone in that conversation. Again, we've talked about it. Don't get personal in your meetings. You know, you're there to conduct business, so conduct business. You know, be prepared when you're meeting with somebody, whether it's committee or not. Then, you know, don't come in with hidden agendas. You know, you want to listen to all views and be willing to accept differences. We're never going to agree on everything, but, you know, so listen to the opposing views. They may have some good points. Accept differences, and you know, but you don't have to agree, but you have to accept the differences and not be a personal matter and move on. And again, ask questions and be willing to compromise. When it comes to the committee and the SLA communications, you know, I think it's important to have at the regular meetings that the agency give a agency report updating on everything going on with the with the program, that they give a financial report letting you know where the program stands, that they give you the an annual report. The financial report and the annual report, quarterly report, and the annual report are required under law. The annual report can be as simple as giving you a copy of the RSA 15. The RSA 15 is the report that they submit with the feds and it summarizes all the activities in the program. It's a really good document, you know, if it's done correctly. So, you know, that's, you know, one way to make sure that the committee is, that you're communicating with the committee and keeping them informed. Another thing is to, you know, regular calls with the director in between meetings. Now, some states will, some states do this, some states don't. Some states will do it with just the committee chair, or maybe the committee chair and vice chair, and not the whole committee. I don't care how you guys do it. But, you know, you don't need to be communicating just when something comes up that, you know, that requires, you know, active participation. You need to be communicating all along so that you're informed and there aren't any real surprises. Another good way to for communication, to enhance communication, is through the work of subcommittees. Let the subcommittees be the ones that are communicating with the agency or whatever on a particular issue that is important to them. I think the agency's primary responsibility is to communicate with the committee. They also have an obligation to keep the all of the vendors involved or informed as to what's going on. It's a fine line between what's the committee's responsibility and what's the agency's responsibility. But I think the agency and the committee need to work together to make sure that they are, that the agency is getting information out there. Usually, if there's going to be a newsletter, for example, it comes from the agency. Surveys are usually done with the agency in conjunction with the committee. Those kind of things that you're doing, the minutes that are sent out, 9 times out of 10, it's not the committee sharing those, it's the agency sharing those. So the agency does have a responsibility. The only other place that it specifically says that the SLA is to communicate directly with the vendors is on the area of how to spend federal unassigned vending. In that case, it does say that they will provide information to all vendors about the issue, and that all vendors will vote on how to spend that money. In all other locations, it talks about active participation of the committee, but that is the one case where the agency works directly with the body as opposed to the committee of blind vendors. So that's just a quick and dirty thing. I kept it brief, didn't go into a whole lot of discussion. Certainly welcome any questions that anybody has or anything like that.
That was a great presentation. It kind of touched on all points that I was hoping to hear, especially the last part with communication between committee and vendors and SLA, committee and SLA. I did have a question, but I was listening so intently I forgot to write it down, so if it pops into my head, I'll definitely ask it. But does anyone else have any questions or comments based on communication or anything for Terry for that matter?
I just want to say, this is Tyra. First of all, Terry, that was spot on, absolutely exactly what I was hoping would be relayed to today's meeting. We did touch on it in prior subjects leading up to your presentation, and I think overall it aligns with exactly my thoughts and the mission overall of the program is, you know, we're in a new day, new times, and that's really the base of how our businesses or operators of businesses are going to thrive, is through effective communication. It's weird times in today, in the sense that people have heightened their levels of they seem to be flustered. There's just a lack of sympathy out there, and so we have to understand that. We have to identify, and to your point, Terry, we have to be able to recognize it. And I think that was kind of the message I wanted relayed. You were spot on with that, so I just want to thank you again. And just ask for a guest room for next year. I'll be in Tennessee. I want to stay at your house. I don't want to do the hotel when I go to Tennessee. So just have some space for me, and I'll see you in Tennessee for sure.
Well, I only live 2 hours from Nashville, so if you don't want it to be a long commute.
I appreciate it.
I'll be in Nashville. I live in Chattanooga.
Hi, Terry. This is Shellyann. I'm not part of the committee, but I believe you've let the question and answer period open for everyone. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my question is, I totally agree with what Keith and Tyrell says about you giving us a great presentation. I just had one question that I don't think you really touched on. Is it okay? We all know it's okay to agree to disagree, but is it also okay just to take a step back, regroup, and then approach before, you know, things may get a little heated or a little bit lost in translation, per se?
Oh, I think it's perfectly acceptable to back off when things start getting emotional. Emotions will tear down communication faster than anything. So if things start getting emotional and heated, then, to back off, whether it be to take a short break and let everybody sort of calm down, or whether it be to, table the conversation for the next meeting or whatever. I think you're better off backing off than running it off the cliff.
Hi, Terry. This is Frank.
Go ahead, Frank. I hear you.
Just a question. As past chairman and active member of the committee, which I'm going to be taking some time off of the committee, but I was just wondering, any suggestions to get the quiet people to speak up? Because I've pushed for a lot of things in this program, and you get a lot of crickets, and I'd like to know what people are thinking when I'm pushing for stuff, and when you get crickets, you don't know if people are dead set against you, dead set for you.
What I encourage people to do in a meeting situation, it's easier to do in a meeting, but if I'm sitting there and I'm chairing a meeting or whatever, and there is someone that is not really participating, I just call on them, say, "Hey, Frank, what do you think of this? And give me your opinions of this." And then I will call on people like that. And we had to do that a couple times in a meeting just last week, where we had some couple of people not participating, and the facilitator, call out their name and just say, "Tell me what you're thinking about this." And it puts them on where they have to give you, feeling one way or the other. Now, if you're trying to push for something and you're not getting, feedback from the masses, so to speak, but there's no real forum for them to speak out, then that's a different matter. But in meetings, I just call on them and to hear what they have to say.
That leads to that was my question, actually. You kind of just answered it, because you said get everyone involved, and when I run meetings, I make sure everyone has an opportunity to speak, but I don't necessarily call out people. But I certainly don't want people to think, like, if it's the same two people talking all the time, I want to make sure at the end of that hey, does anyone else have anything to add to the conversation, so they do have a spot to speak. But that was my question, if you would actually call them out, and you just kind of answered that, so thank you.
I think you have to in some cases. I mean, some people are, whether it's they're shy, or they don't feel that their opinion's important, or, whatever their reason is for not speaking out, they may have a really good idea that you want to take advantage of, and if you have to pull it out, that's fine.
Hi, I'm Adam Fairbanks. I am in the National Federation of the Blind of Stanford, and I just wanted to know more about your podcast, because I have the Alexa in my house, and I wanted to know whether I could get the podcast on Alexa.
You can. It's there. You just say, "Alexa, play the We Are Randolph Shepherd podcast," and it should come up. It's We, if you have to look it up, it's We, the letter R, Randolph Shepherd, and It runs usually about 45, 50 minutes. Sometimes we go a little long. We get a little long-winded. We're, after me just talking about don't be long-winded, we can do that sometimes. But especially when we have guests on, which we do most shows, we will have a guest on. But yeah, check it out.
I will.
Hi, Terry. This is Shelley Ann again. I had another kind of touch back on what Keith and Frank just touched on, and you even said it outright, that you can call out, for lack of a better term, call out people. What about if you took the initiative to ask, because we all know who's quiet and who's vocal, if you could ask them prior to the meeting, is there something you may not feel comfortable asking out loud that you want me to be as your representative in the actual meeting? Because that's what the committee members really are there for, to represent the entirety as a whole. Could we also do that? Go out and reach out. Is there anything you want me to speak about that you think should be addressed that maybe I, myself, or other committee members haven't actually touched on or probably have done before?
I don't know if you're going to like my answer or not. And I guess calling out that person, I don't like that terminology. I think, even though I've used it, and you said you didn't necessarily like it either, so, you know, that sort of has a negative connotation to it.
Correct.
But to involve that person, you know, at some point, I think, you know, if a person has issues, they were elected by their fellow vendors. They were elected to represent their vendors. And if they just will not bring something up, then I think it's time they find something else to do. Just to be blunt, because that's what they were elected to do. I don't think one committee member should have to go to another committee member and ask if is there something you want me to bring up for you.
I think you misunderstand me. Not the actual committee members, but the actual vendors who we.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
that's what I meant.
Okay, I'm sorry. I did misunderstand. So yeah, I said earlier, I think you need to be having conversations. You need to be calling your vendors. You need to have local meetings. You need to go visit their facilities. You need to be listening to them and stay informed. And based on those conversations, if they have topics that they want you to bring up at the committee meeting, then it's your responsibility to bring it up. You're the liaison between them and the SLA. And so yes, you should be getting their views. And if there's a topic they want brought up at the meeting, then you need to bring it up.
Yes. I think the part that was lost, I wasn't actually speaking, because I believe if you're on the committee, you should not have a silent voice. You're there to have a voice. So that's where I
came
from. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Anyone else for questions, comments for Terry? All right. Well, Terry, we thank you for your time, as always. We know, as I said before, you're a busy man. I'm glad we got some people on board with the podcast to listen to you and Nikki at the bar and grill there. Thanks again, and go Vols.
Yeah, exactly. We play the Gators this weekend, so.
Should be a good one.
So listen,
thank you for coming on, Terry.
Okay, I appreciate it, guys. Anything I can ever do to help you guys just, holler at me, let me know. Tyrell, same for you. And I appreciate the interaction. Sometimes you guys can be a little quiet and not ask a lot of questions, but it was good today.
Yeah, we were live today, Terry. We were ready. We appreciate
it. Okay, guys, take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, Terry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was good. Definitely good presentation for this year's meeting. All right.
Absolutely.
So we can actually. this runs us right into the next topic.
I just saw the same thing.
So, if you like what you heard or you appreciate the training that Terry Smith has provided, it's a segue into our next topic of discussion. I am looking for the committee's vote for the renewal of the NFVEI's annual membership fee, which I believe is $2,000. I don't think they're they're going up, he usually sends me an email saying what my quote-unquote discount price is. But it's up for renewal, and you know, if you guys would like to, you know, continue to have the support, obviously, by Terry and Nikki and good folks from NFB, this is an ideal membership to retain, and, you know, we can always, like Terry says, double back to him whenever we need to discuss things that are relevant to the program. So with that being said, I'll push that to you, Keith, to pose to the committee.
But you know, it's a pricey membership fee, but I think it goes a long way. You never know what's going to come up in the coming year where we need to rely on them for guidance. It happened through the pandemic, and you know, it's valuable information. And you know, we get this training, and as Terry said, you know, anything we need throughout the year, that's what our membership pays for. So although it is a, you know, it's got a price tag on it, I think it's worth every penny, and I think it would be in our best interest to renew that again for this year. So if there's a committee member out there that would agree with that and wants to make that in a form of a motion, I would entertain it.
Rich will make the motion.
All right. Can I get a second on that?
I'll second.
All right, I hear Rich made a motion to renew our membership for the upcoming year with a second by Dave Pelagi. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye, committee members.
Aye.
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 Any opposed say no. Any abstention? And the motion carries. We will renew that that membership for the upcoming year. So that brings us to our next topic of Schedule C's and retirement contributions. I'll start this before you get into it, Tyrell, because this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. I've said it in past meetings, but it's our responsibility as operators to abide by the regulations and the rules set forth. Schedule C's are due at tax time, you know, and they're supposed to be in. You're supposed to match your retirement contribution. You know, it says in the regs April 15th. I hope that changes, because if the feds, you know, if the IRS gives us till April 15th to file, we should get a little extension to get our contributions into to the state. But regardless, they shouldn't be going past May, I would say. Then insurance contributions, you know, the agency pays on our behalf. So if you're delinquent on your insurance, you're taking money from our program that we, you know, we need in other areas. So I would, you know, not necessarily plead with you. We shouldn't have to plead with you, but you get your Schedule C's in, you get your retirement contribution in, and you pay your insurance, whether you pay monthly or however you like to pay for it. That's your responsibility for being a member of this program. And I just don't think we should have to bring it up every meeting, although unfortunately we have to. So that's my bit, Tyrell. I'll kick it back to you.
All right. Well, we can move right to the next agenda item. There's really not much more to add to that. So, as Terry says, you know, he's a straight shooter. He's a driver. I guess I'll be a driver. So we'll move next to what do we have? Proposed
meeting dates.
2024 meeting dates. I believe I checked, and I can double check that each date proposed, March 5th, June 4th, September 10th, and December 3rd, are all Tuesdays. But let me just quickly check. I try to always make sure we stay consistent. Give me one second, just before we close the vote. All right, March 5th, Tuesday. June 4th. Yep, and then we got September 10th, Tuesday, and then December 3rd, Tuesday. Yep, so we have all Tuesdays if that works for the committee.
Perfect. If I can get a committee member to make a motion to accept those meeting dates for the upcoming year.
Ms. Dave Pelagi, I make a motion we accept the meeting dates.
Excellent. Can I get a second?
So when is the next meeting now?
Well, the next meeting was December 5th, but
okay.
we're going
you.
For 2024 meeting dates.
Right, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So we got a motion on the floor. Can I hear a second? That was Brandy.
I'll make a second. Yep.
All right. So I got a motion made by Dave Pilato.